A few years ago, performer and composer Eddie Perfect toured the country with the wonderful Shane Warne the Musical. It was a story about sex and cricket and advanced hair products, all perfect fodder for a musical, really. Well, now Eddie is back with a new show called Miss Anthropology. The show has kicked off at the Sydney Festival and promises to be an equal opportunity offender. Nobody is safe from criticism. Eddie Perfect joins us on Radio National Summer Breakfast. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, Jules, how are you?
Very well, mate. Now, I can't lead straight into the new show without asking you about Warney Mark II, because Warney had a big 2010. There's no doubt he's got his own TV show now. He's been gallivanting around with Liz Hurley. Is there a sequel musical in the offing?
Look, there's. I always thought that the Warney saga should be something more like Wagner's Ring Cycle, that people should come at least three nights to the theatre for different stages of his life, and the whole thing should run about 36 hours. So I'm not just one sequel. I mean, even when I was writing it, I could have written two
more. It must
be
hard to keep up.
Yeah, I left a lot of stuff out, and now there's more stuff all the time. And, like, you know, he's not going to shy away from the headlines, so I think an entire Ring Cycle would be great. 36 hours.
Coming soon to next year's Sydney Festival, perhaps. I don't know how appropriate a segue it is from Shane Warne to Miss Anthropology. Was it working on Warney's life that's led you to Miss Anthropology?
Well, it's the most unpronounceable name for a bloody show ever. I don't know why I came with this stuff. Basically because I like the idea of anthropology, but I always thought that it begins from a premise of humans, you know, humans being okay, pretty good, you know. Mm. There's a lot of let's be impressed with ourselves going on. You know, humans harnessed the properties of fire and they created the wheel and aren't we awesome? And I wanted to start a show with possibly the premises that we're not as awesome as we collectively like to think we are. We just happen to be the top of the food chain, but it doesn't mean we're really kicking goals. And if we found life in far-flung galaxies, which is what we seem to be obsessed with doing, and I believe one day we will, will we be totally inferior and realizing that we should have all tried a little harder? So it's kind of about the things that make us great, but also about the things that are tied to our evolution that hold us back.
I've heard the new show described as an equal opportunity offender. Who are in your sights in Miss Anthropology?
There's a few different people. I mean, I've found a really interesting documentary on the BBC called First Contact, which is about this guy that does these kind of crazy eco tours with rich white eco tourists out into the jungles of West Papua to make first contact with indigenous tribes out there. Obviously, kind of only a brief shelf life for that little business. I found that really startling, you know, that people kind of wanted to go, it's like a human zoo, because people really romanticize that notion of what first man's like, you know, untouched by Western civilization. We would be living in our, you know, purest form, and it'd be like the Garden of Eden. But we all know that's not true. You kind of sit around playing past the turnip and starving and bored and you die of a cold at the age of 18. So there's a bit of that. There's looking at cultural things like, you know, this kind of evolution to people riding their bikes everywhere and how completely self-righteous people on bicycles have become.
So it's really a kind of a broadside against people like myself and the Radio National listenership generally.
Yes, probably.
Excellent.
You know, it's about, you know, I guess we've evolved to a certain level. We kind of hit a glass ceiling. We're kind of working out our way of going forward. Things seem to be kind of not so much about breakthroughs anymore, and we seem to be kind of shuffling cards around on the table rather than really kicking any particular goals in any one direction. So this show is sort of about our hypocrisies and failings, I guess. And I don't know why, but I find that funny.
Fair enough, too. Now, I remember seeing one of your early shows, Angry Eddie, and it certainly was angry. Are you still as angry in your performances as you used to be, or is it a bit more mellow Eddie these days?
I used to kind of take bigger ideological targets, and now I like to kind of find smaller ones. Basically, it's always about confronting the people that come and see your show. And if you do a show about politics and you're sort of left-leaning like I am, you get really sick of lefties coming to your show and leaving kind of smug and satisfied. And you go, what can I do to make sure that I'm speaking to my entire audience? And Drink Pepsi, Bitch, a show I did after that, was about consumerism and, I guess, capitalism and, I guess, the market and whether or not this is a good or a bad thing and the ways in which I suppose we're manipulated. And this show is really just about institutions and ideas and cultural phenomena and why humans are attracted to them and whether they're ultimately good for us or whether they're not. So I guess it's looking, when you look at humanity as a whole and you kind of pan the camera back, you get a bit of perspective. And I think it's fun and interesting to look at us and what makes us who we are.
Eddie, are we in danger of learning something from misanthropology?
Oh, God, no.
All right. Well, that, that is a relief.
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, returning to the stage with a solo show, sounds like it might be a bit of a contrast from what you've been doing of late. You've been appearing in dramas. You've been hosting Fox 8's Ultimate School Musical and the like, even performing on the respectable stage. Is it a relief to move away from other people's work back onto your own turf?
Yes and no. Like, it's when you're like just an actor for hire. I've done a lot of stuff that was driven by other people, and in one sense, it's great because you just turn up to work and someone else has written the material, and you go home and they have to worry about rewrites and producing and all sort of stuff. So, on one hand, it's really good because you have a lower responsibility. And on the other hand, it's not as satisfying. But, you know, writing comedy, I forgot how excruciating writing comedy is. It's it's one of the unfunniest, unpleasurable things I think I can do. I find it much more uplifting to write depressing material. But this was hard, you know. It's hard because it's lonely and it's abstract, like you're like, is this funny? And you start to crawl into this very weird world where you're worried about whether things are funny. And things are funny for all sorts of different reasons, and things you think are going to be funny aren't funny. And the only way you can try it out is by doing it in front of people, and that's excruciating as well. So it's been excruciating, but hopefully the end result is something that's hilarious.
Well, it's great to know that you've been suffering badly for your art, Eddie. Eddie Perfect, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Julian.
And Eddie's new show, Misanthropology, is on at the Spiegel Tent at the Midnight Hour, the Witching Hour, as part of the Sydney Festival until the end of the month.